In your Bibles, please turn to Psalms, the 12th Psalm, Psalm 12, in your Scofield Bible, page 604. We'll read all eight verses of this Psalm. Psalm 12, page 604 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read responsively these eight verses. And let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. And let's pray. Father, we feel like we're in a very special place tonight. We thank you for this church. We're thankful that when we come here, we just feel better, even if we don't feel quite so well before we come. Just being here makes many of us feel better. And then we thank you for the sweet fellowship, for those with whom we can pass a little bit of the time, maybe before the service, and see a little bit of Jesus in each other. Thank you for this evening hour and for the preaching. Help us with expectancy to get what we came for, that which will apply to our hearts and our lives. Speak to us plainly. Please use the man of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, did you fail forward or did you fail backward? I want to sort of unburden my heart to you a little while tonight. And I trust you'll listen to me. Father, I cannot meet the needs of these thousands of people in this room tonight. I'm just a man at best. But I ask you to take the loaves and fishes that I present tonight and apply them to every need here. There may be just a little sentence that you'll want me to add to my sermon that'll affect somebody. I don't even know about it. Help me to know what that sentence is. And there may be something I plan to say that probably won't affect anybody or help anybody, and I pray you'd help me not to say it. Bless these few moments in this first Sunday evening service of the new year. Amen. This is sort of a New Year's sermon tonight. I'm talking to someone tonight who has failed in 1995. I'm talking to somebody who's failed as a mate. Maybe you failed as a husband. You did not mean to, but or maybe you did. But I'm talking to somebody here tonight who would have to admit that you failed as a husband in 1995. I'd like to speak to your heart tonight. I'm talking to some dear lady that you feel that you failed as a wife in 1995. Let me try to help you tonight. I'm talking to someone who's failed in a marriage. Someone who's failed as a teenager. I may be talking to some visitor who's failed as a pastor. I may be talking to somebody who's failed as a worker. Maybe you lost your job and it was your fault. I'm talking to somebody tonight maybe who's failed in business. I'd like to help you. Or somebody who's failed as a student. It just seemed like 1995 you could not make the grade or the grades. As you look back over the year, you see failure. It's an old story. I've told it often, but I love it. In fact, I think recently I told it. I was preaching in Brooklyn, New York, staying in Staten Island across the bridge. Staten Island, New York, at the Holiday Inn. I got there on Monday, and the Sunday before I got there, the day before I got there, a lady had tried to commit suicide by jumping out, I think, of the 88th floor of the Empire State Building. When she jumped out, a gust of wind hit her and took her back toward the Empire State Building. And she just slid down beside the building and landed on a ledge, a floor or two under 88th floor, and was not killed. She was injured enough to take her to the hospital. The press came to interview her there in the hospital, and they asked her, "Why did you try to commit suicide?" She said, "Because I failed at everything I ever tried to do." I laughed and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. Boy, you can't even kid yourself. You are a flop, I'll tell you for sure. I want to give you a few statements tonight about failure. Listen to them very, very carefully. Statement number one, failure does not mean I have been disgraced. It means I have dared to try. You folks that sit around and criticize folks that fails, it's because you never tried anything. Try something. Stick your neck out. Statement number two, failure does not mean I am a failure. It simply means I have not yet succeeded. I will, but I haven't yet. Statement number three, there is a difference between failure and being a failure. I am a failure in many areas from time to time, but I'm not going to be a failure. Statement number four, failure does not mean I have accomplished nothing. It means I've learned something. Statement number five, failure means I have learned a way not to do it. The issue is not, will I do it or not, because I'm going to do it. Now, if I've failed in doing it, I've learned something. I've learned how not to try next time. Statement number six, failure does not mean that I don't have it. It means I need to do it in a different way. You give me the guy that says, I'm going to do it. Now, it may take me a half a dozen tries to do it, but I'm going to do it. It may take me a dozen failures to succeed, but I'm going to succeed. Statement number seven. Failure does not mean that I should give up. It means that I should try harder. Statement number eight. Failure does not mean that I'm inferior. It just means I'm not yet perfect. Statement number nine. Failure does not mean I've wasted my life. It simply means I have a chance to start all over again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first Sunday night of 1996. If you failed in 1995, start again tonight. If in some area of your life you've been a failure or you failed, you simply say, I may have failed in some area of my life in 1995, but I'm going to start again in 1996. There's something about the new year that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Jews had had what they called the 10 awesome days. During the first 10 days of the year, the Jews took those days the Jews believed that God had three books. One book was the book of folks that were going to heaven. The other book over here was a book of folks that were going to hell. But there was a middle book of the folks that were not good. They believe you worked your way to heaven, that were not good enough to go to heaven and not bad enough to go to hell, and they were in this middle book. And they believed that they could get changed from the bad book to the good book in the first 10 days of the year. So what they would do is this, they'd pay up all the back tithes in the first 10 days of the year. They'd pay all their old debts in the first 10 days of the year. They'd spend the first 10 days of the year confessing all of their sins of the year before, of which they could think. They spend the first 10 days of the year making it right with all of the people that they had against whom they had animosity or anger, the hurt feelings. And they believe that if they paid their tithes up and paid their debts up and confessed their sins up and got right with their enemies, they believe that God would transfer them from the middle book to the good book. They believe that those that were lived good enough lives would go to heaven, those that lived lives too bad would go to hell, but this middle book could be changed from the middle book to the good book. Now those of us who know the Bible know that salvation is not by works. It's by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not what we've done, but trusting what He's done. We know that. And though you cannot be transferred from the middle book or the bad book to the good book by doing these four things, you could do a lot worse than doing these four things in the early days of 1996. Pay up all your back tithes. Pay up all your back debts. Or make some agreement with people you owe as to how you can pay and when you'll pay. Be above board about it. And by the way, fellas, don't send your wife to your creditors. Let her take care of it. Be a man. Every once in a while I hear some guy that is in debt, and so he has his wife take all the phone calls. Why don't you grow a beard and be a man? Why don't you decide you're going to face life yourself, not run from it, and make your wife take care of the problems for you? I'm saying that though that these things will not cause you to be placed in the good book, you're placed in the good book because you're born again. It's certainly not a bad idea for you to pay up your back tithes and pay up your back debts and confess your sins, and not only confess your sins, forsake your sins. And make it right with everybody in the world against you. You can't make them right with you, but you can make you right with them. Wonderful thing for the first of the year. But there's something else you can do the first of the year. You can say, I'm going to start again. I've been a failure as a husband, but I'm going to try again. I've been a failure as a wife in 1995, but I'm going to try again in 1996. I've been a failure as a mom or a dad in 1995, but I'm going to try again in 1996. I've been a failure as a teenager. I've not lived the kind of life that I ought to live. I've been a failure as a teenager in 1995, but I'm going to start anew in 1996. I've been a failure as a worker, an employee. I've been lazy, but I'm going to start anew. And my employer is going to depend on me and be proud of me. And I'm going to be one of those guys that makes Brother Sally proud because I am going to be a good worker in 1996. As a student, I failed in 1995, but I'm going to start again in 1996. I'm going to be a success, or at least I'm going to try again. Statement number 9, failure does not mean, I'm sorry, number 10, failure is falling down. Being a failure is staying down. If you don't stay down, you're not a failure. Statement number 11, to try is to sometimes fail. To fail is to learn, and learning brings success. Let me say it again. To try is to sometimes fail. Brother, if you've never failed, that means you've never tried. And if you've ever tried, that means sometimes you failed. But to try is to sometimes fail. To fail is to learn, and learning brings success. Statement number 12, God's a junk dealer. God's in the junk life business. That's what God's in. Now, you're not. You're in the forsaking business. Let somebody fall, brother, and you flee. But God's not like you are. God lifts up the fallen. He doesn't stomp the fallen. God gives the fallen a second chance. As long as they'll try again, God will give them a second chance. You won't. They disappoint you. They're down forever. They're under your thumb. They're on your list. But thank God He's not like you are. My Bible said these things in 1 John 2:1, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What does that mean? That means when God said, I don't want you to sin. But if you do, Jesus is going to come and try to pick you up and give you another start. Now what's the difference in failure and being a failure. Simply this, whether you fall backward or whether you fall forward. Whether you fail backward or whether you fail forward. Now, when you fail backward, you don't try again. When you fail backward, you blame it on others. When you fail backward, you cancel your plans for success. I'm talking to folks tonight who failed and given up. I'm talking to folks tonight who got up maybe and failed a second time, and then you gave up. But you give me that fellow that says, I'm going to keep getting up till I stay up. I'm going to keep trying till I succeed. To fall forward, we fall forward, or fail forward, when number one, we accept the blame. It's not the school's fault. It's not mom's fault in this day of blaming your ancestors. Your granddaddy didn't eat enough raisins in his raisin bran. Didn't eat enough watermelon. And because of that, you're a thief. No, sir, you're a thief because you chose to be a thief. And there's nothing ruined America any more than these dumb psychiatrists that blame everything on somebody else. My Bible said every man will give an account of himself to God. Every man will give an account of himself to God. The Old Testament, they had a statement, our fathers have eaten sour grapes and set our teeth on edge. No, sir, your teeth are set on edge because you ate sour grapes. You're not a sinner because your dad was a sinner. You're a sinner because you've chosen to sin. And you're not a flop because your dad molested you as a child. And I'm against child molestation with a passion. I'm against you guys that can't keep your hands off your child. In God's name, if you can't keep your hands off, then don't have a child. And I've got more respect for a pimp or a prostitute walking the streets of a red light district than I do a grown man that'll touch and fondle the body of a little child. Keep your dirty hands off. And if you can't keep your dirty hands off a child, go out somewhere in the woods and build your little house and be a hermit the rest of your life and don't get around anybody. But I don't care what your daddy was, he's not responsible for your failure. We fail forward when we accept the blame. Number two, we fail forward when we learn from our failure. Number three, we fail forward when we try again. Number four, we fail forward if when it's not possible to succeed where we have already failed, we choose something else in which we can succeed. Let me give you a few examples in the Bible of folks who failed forward. The best example is the Apostle Peter. The guy was a flop. The guy failed and failed and failed. Wake up and listen now. Peter, when Jesus came to wash his feet in the upper room, Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. I'll wash yours. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, I'll have no part in you. Peter said, then give me a bath. What a strange guy. He failed. He failed in allowing Jesus to cleanse his feet. That isn't all. He failed again. He got up. But it failed again. While Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter was like some of you. He was asleep. Sleeping. The hour of decision for our Lord and Peter was sleeping. The time when our Lord needed the most and Peter was sleeping. Hey, this is the big boy of the apostles. Always named first. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew. He's always named first. Not only that, but he was chosen as one of the top three. Not only that, but of the top three, he was always listed first. Peter, no doubt, was the best Christian and most respected Christian in all the world. But Peter failed, but he always failed forward. When Jesus was arrested, Peter drew his sword and tried to chop the head of the high priest's servant off. The guy ducked, and Peter got his right ear. Now, Peter wasn't aiming for his ear. You never said to anybody, one more word out of you and I'll chop your right ear off. Peter was aiming for his cotton-picking head.
But the guy ducked like that, and Peter got his ear. Now, Jesus knew he had to yield and not resist. He knew he had to go to Calvary, and this was a part of it. But Peter failed, but he failed forward. Then he followed afar off. While Jesus was headed for Calvary, Peter followed afar off. He failed again. But he fell forward and got up. Then he sat down with the enemies of Jesus. And by the way, brother, you ought not to sit down with the enemies of Jesus Christ. The other day when I got through preaching, some lady met me in the alley out here. And she said, "I'm disgusted with you. I visited your service today, and you criticized the ministerial association." Yeah, and I'll do it again too, honey. I'm not going to sit down with anybody that doesn't believe that book in the ministerial association. I'm not going to sit down beside any so-called preacher that calls my Lord the illegitimate child of an adulteress. I'm not going to sit down with somebody that doesn't believe in the plan of salvation, and this book is the Word of God. I'm not going to do it. And Peter sat down with the enemies of Jesus in God's name. By the way, you shouldn't sit down with the enemies of Jesus, and you shouldn't sit down with the enemies of your friends. But Peter failed. But he failed forward. And then, not only that, he denied his Lord. They said, "You belong to him." He said, "No, I don't." Then he denied the faith. And then denied the church. He said, "You're one of them." "I don't know them. I don't belong to them." But he failed forward. And every time Peter went down, he got back up. He went down, he got back up. Every going down, he had to get him back up. And God chose this man who had failed eight times, but gotten back up eight times to preach the great sermon on Pentecost, with 3,000 people got saved. Let me ask you a question. Suppose you'd been on the pulpit committee for Pentecost. Suppose that this committee is meeting and is choosing somebody to preach on Pentecost. And somebody said, "I nominate Dr. Peter." What would you have said? The average person here jumped up and said, "Not on your life. Where was he when Jesus was being crucified? Cursing and swearing and denying the Lord. Denied the church. Denied the faith. Sleeping while Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Drew his sword against the soldier who was going to be even a servant of God to see to it that Jesus went to Calvary. Set by the devil, set with the enemies of God, and warmed with the devil's fire." Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. They don't make the man that God can't use again. I said they don't make the man that God can't use again. And standing up there on Pentecost, preaching the gospel of Christ, and seeing 3,000 people walk down the aisle, was this man who failed and got up and 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 failed and got up. Hey, it's 1996. Get up and start again. Look at David. He failed, but he failed forward. Suppose you've been on the committee to choose somebody to write some more psalms. I make a motion that David write some more psalms. You said, "Who did? Who? David? The guy that had an affair with Bathsheba? And the guy that killed Uriah?" Let me tell you something, brother. I thank God that you're not God. And I really thank God I'm not God either. I'd chop some heads off that God wouldn't chop off. Ah, but I got some news for you tonight. If you fail, get up and try again. God loves you, and God will use you somewhere. He may not use you like he could have used you, but he'll use you somewhere. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand, some beauty may remain. I don't care who you are, there's something left you can do for God. Get up and try again. Look at Jonah. Suppose you've been on the pulpit committed to choose an evangelist for the revival in Nineveh. What? Evangelist Jonah? The guy that left the will of God, got on a ship while he spent 3 days in Whale Motel. Don't even leave the lights on for you there. Jonah? Yeah, Jonah. You know why? Oh, listen, I'll tell you why. Because God will use the guy that won't stay down. The Bible says, listen carefully to this, the just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. Didn't say the bad man. Boy, you let somebody fall seven times and we call him bad. God says he's just. Just if he what? Gets up again. If you got to get up beside every fall down, you're just. Because you balance the equation. We just said a bad man falleth seven times. A weak, doesn't say a weak man falleth seven times. It says if you get up every time you fail, and you get up every time you fall, you've got the equation balanced because you've got seven falls and seven get ups. Get back up. Start again. It's 1996. You flopped in 95. Get up and try again in 1996. Look at Moses. Suppose you've been on the pastoral pulpit committee choosing a leader for Israel. Committee meets. Somebody says, I nominate Moses. You'd said, why, that guy's a murderer. He killed a guy. You want him to be our leader? Now what I'm trying to do is get you ready to vote me back in after I kill a few people I want to kill. I'm not for murder. But I'm not for Pharisaism either. I'm not for a guy falling, but hey what? I'm more for the guy that fell and got up than him, the guy that criticized the folk that fell. And nobody falls much that doesn't run. Get up, run again. Look at Jacob. 20 years out of the will of God, but became a prince of God. Why? He failed forward. Look at John Mark. Coward on the first missionary journey. Turned back. But he failed forward and became the author of the second book of the New Testament and became the close, helpful, comforting friend of the Apostle Paul in the last days of his ministry. Look at Abraham. Went down to Egypt, left the will of God, hired a little gal to be his maid, brought her back to Palestine, got her pregnant and fathered an illegitimate child. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not advocating adultery. I'm not advocating Noah's drunkenness. I'm not advocating Jonah's running from the will of God. I'm not advocating David's sins. I'm not advocating Peter denying the Lord. I'm simply saying, if God gets where he can't use you somewhere, he'll take you on to heaven. But as long as God has left you here by the grace of God, there's something you can do. So get up and start again. I'm going to tell you a story now. But first, let me remind you of those that fell backward. Cain failed backward. He had a chance. He had a second chance. God placed a sin offering that he could have gotten and killed and had a second chance. But he failed backward because he didn't try again. King Saul failed backward. King Saul failed like David failed, but David failed forward and King Saul failed backward. Lot failed backward. Lot could have had the second chance like Abraham did. But he failed backward. I'm talking to folks tonight who failed. And okay, you said there's nothing. Yes, there's something you can do. Oh, but God can't. Oh, yes, God can use you again. Solomon failed backward. Now, a personal story that I don't really want to tell, but I think I owe it to somebody to tell them. My dad never one time took a baseball and played catch with me. My dad never took a basketball and shot a basket with me. My dad never spiraled a football my way or let me throw one toward him. My dad never wet a hook on a fishing pole or line with me. He never had any time for me. I vowed if I ever had a son, I'd be his pal and I'd be his buddy. God did give me a son. It was a picture book father-son relationship.
It was picture perfect. We did it all together. While Mrs. Hiles was cooking a meal, we'd be out playing catch, shooting baskets, throwing spot footballs. We fished together, went to ball games together. We were everything that a father and son ought to be. And if I had it all to live over, I do not know what I would change. He became a teenage leader. He became the leader as a 17-year-old lad of the teenagers of our church. One of the greatest teenage Christians I've ever met. He became the greatest youth director in America before he was 20 years of age. And conducted nationwide youth conferences, and I seldom go anywhere in America without finding some preacher that said, "Tell your son I was called to preach under his preaching." I go to the mission field and find missionaries that say, "I was called to preach under Dave Hiles. Tell Brother Dave I love him." He became a pastor. He took a church with a few hundred people and built it to running 1,300 in Sunday school. The same church his dad pastored years ago, the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. One day I was in Nederland, Texas. Just about 5 or 10 minutes before I was going to go preach, maybe 15, the phone rang. I picked up the phone and found that our son had fallen. He had failed. I fell on my face and I said, "I don't think I can preach tonight." But God didn't call me to preach if everything went right. God called me to preach. And that night I preached on the layman and the Holy Spirit power. He failed. But he got up. He failed again and went deeper. But he got up again. He failed again and went deeper. But he got up again. Ended up in Florida. Joined the Pinellas Park Baptist Temple there in Pinellas Park, Florida. As a layman. Asked for nothing. Became a church member. Started going soul winning. Wasn't long, he was bringing people down the aisle every Sunday that he won to Christ. He began to grow in the Lord. Became a friend of the pastor. The pastor loved him dearly because Brother Dave knew so much about me, he could tell the pastor about me, and the pastor learned my philosophy from my son. It wasn't long till the pastor found out he could sing. All of us Hileses have that talent. In my case, it's a hidden talent, but wasn't long till they asked Dave and his wife to sing duets in church. I'm talking about the fellow that went all the way to the bottom. In fact, it went so bad and so far until I had to get up one Sunday night and spend the entire time from this pulpit explaining the depths to which our boy had fallen. One of the hardest services of my life. Started soul winning. Came a friend of the pastor. The pastor called me one day and said, "What do you think if I made Brother Dave my music coordinator?" I advised him not to do it. I said, "You're going to put him up where people can see it, and the Pharisees are going to shoot him down. I don't want to be hurt." I said, "You may get criticized yourself. I advise you not to do it." But against my advice, the pastor went ahead and made Dave his music coordinator, the job Elaine Colston has here. He kept on. Several years have passed. They asked him if he'd lead the choir. He became the choir director. I was against it because I didn't want him to be hurt. They asked him if he would lead the congregational singing, and he became the congregational song leader. Finally, they asked him if he'd start a couple Sunday school class. He started a couple Sunday school class, now has the largest adult Sunday school class in the church there. Recently, the pastor asked him to be on the staff. Now, whether or not he should be, he is. He has the largest couples class in the church, and never a Sunday without his bringing somebody down the aisle. Before you start criticizing, how many did you bring down the aisle last year? Now, I spent an entire sermon one night apologizing for our son. He may fall again, but I want to tell you, every time he's fallen, he's gotten up. I had one dream. I dreamed the day when I no longer could fill this pulpit of handing my Bible to my son, and my son would pastor this church. That'll never happen. Nor would I recommend it, nor could it ever happen. And that's all over. That dream is gone. But that was one of my great dreams of my life. I'd like to make an announcement tonight. I'm proud of my boy. Mrs. Hiles is proud of him. He may stumble tomorrow, but I promise you he's going to get back up. The just man falleth 7 times. But he's got 4 more times. But the just man is not just because he falls. He's just because he won't stay down. And I'm proud of our son tonight. I was down in Pinellas Park preaching in the church recently, and he's beloved in the church, trusted in the church. Leads the singing, leads the choir. They love him dearly. I thank God tonight that God lets us start over again. I thank God tonight that there's a difference in failure and being a failure. And strange thing, Dave's no longer that cocky fellow that you used to know. He's no longer that way. He's humble. He's grateful. He's not a know-it-all. His dad is, but he's not. I'm trying to say tonight that if God could use Dave Hiles again, God could use you again. He'll never pastor that church in Texas that he pastored. He'll never have his name on the sign out in front saying, Dave Hiles, pastor. He'll never fulfill my dream of taking my Bible when I no longer can walk to the pulpit. And by the way, he probably was the man most qualified, if he continued to grow, of filling this pulpit, a brilliant mind. He'll never do that. But it's 9:19 in Pinellas Park. He's fellowshipping tonight at the end of the service. He just got through leading the singing. He may have sung a solo, or he and Brenda, his wife, may have sung a duet. They have the cutest little boy you ever saw in your life. His name is Jack David Hiles. Let me take about 3 hours and tell you about him. You heard about the fellow said, did I tell you about my grandchild? He said, no, and I appreciate it. Why don't you start again? It's January 1996. It's the first Sunday. Won't you start again? Got expelled from Hiles Anderson College? Get up and start again. Get expelled 7 times? As long as you go back 7 times, you're a just man. Justice means balancing the equation. Look at the symbol of justice. It's a scale. And when the scale is balanced, that's justice. So you fall or fail, you get back up, that's just. You fail, you get back up. As long as you got to get up for every fall, failure, or fall down, you're a just man. So get back up and try again. Have you failed forward, or have you failed backward? Start again tonight. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strand that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of that dear hand some beauty may remain, transformed by grace divine. God can take the ugliest life in this room tonight and make it again. He took that vessel that had been marred in the hands of the potter. I love that statement. Go to Jeremiah 18 sometime. Read about that vessel. The vessel was marred.
But the Bible said it was marred in the hands of the potter. You may be marred tonight, but hallelujah, you stood in his hand.
And those hands that held that marred vessel made it again. It's not going to be in the palace to be on the table midst the china and crystal and silver of palatial meals. It's not going to be a vase sitting in the king's courtroom. But it can be a peanut butter jar. It can be worth something. In fact, I don't know anything better than a peanut butter jar. I'd rather be that than a vase. Good night. Be full of peanut butter. I'd rather be that than in the palace myself. But I want to say tonight that you're still in his hands. You're still in his hands. And he can still make something out of you. Hey, folks. We're humans. That's all. And we're dust. And because we are, we fail. And we fall. I don't know about you, but I don't want to fail backward. I want to fail forward. Our Heavenly Father, I've said some things tonight I'd rather not have said, but I felt like I need to honor the one that I apologized for a few years ago. I pray tonight you'd help a lot of people to realize it's a new year.